Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Hey, hey, welcome to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree Mitchell. I am the host of the show, as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. This platform, this space, this community is for Black women that are looking to get to where the healing resides. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode where I want to talk about this whole idea that practice makes perfect, especially in regards to self-care, right? Practice makes perfect. Most of us grew up hearing that story, I guess, I don't even want to say proverb, but that, yeah, let's just say proverb, that idea, that proverb that, you know, the more you practice, the more you push, the more, you know, you keep doing these certain skills and habits, the better you're going to be to the point where you're able to make it perfect, right? I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how harmful that is, at least to me. And let's talk about self-care, okay? Before I get into today's episode, though, I want to give a special thank you and shout out to every single one of you that support the podcast on Patreon. You have no idea how much your support means. Also, if you have, you know, sent me a kind email, if you've left a rating and review on iTunes, if you've shared the show, like whatever you've done, I just want to make sure that I acknowledge you. I want to let you know that I appreciate you. And I'm just so glad that you are in community with me as we move forward, you know, in embracing what it means to acknowledge our worth and to feel whole and to be healthy. Okay. All right. So, you know, I do not have my water, so my throat's going to be a little parched in this episode. So I just want to let you know that up front. All right, so let's go ahead and get into it. So first of all, like I said, I want to talk about just this whole idea of this narrative that practice makes perfect. So what is practice? Practice is about deepening your understanding by applying ideas and methods versus just, I guess, just like thinking about them. That's what the definition of practice more or less was when I looked it up on Google University. Now, in regards to self-care, I think of it as the beliefs and habits and rhythms and rituals that we put into motion on a regular basis that allow us to deepen our understanding of who we are and what we need, and then applying that understanding consistently in a way that helps you feel whole. Okay. So, like, back to that whole saying that practice makes perfect. I don't agree with that statement. I no longer am in solidarity or agreement with the saying that practice makes perfect. Perfect to me, like, perfect means free from flaws. It's like exactly right. It's exactly precise. It's like this thing that you've done is the best it's ever gonna be. Nothing can enhance it any further. Like, it's flawless, like I said, and it's as good as it's going to get. And everything is like on point 100%. And like, for those meanings alone, I don't believe that this would be a phrase that our ancestors would have used. Like, I can't imagine our ancestors saying practice makes perfect, at least not before, you know, we became enslaved. And I feel like that's because the concept of perfection as we use it, it's just a colonized way of thinking. It's a colonized way of thinking. And I can tell you that our proverbs, like, and I even look to see, like, for Proverbs that I wasn't familiar with. Like, our Proverbs are not filled with less, like, with stories about how everything needs to be perfect or how doing something like this means that we can eventually make it perfect. Our Proverbs and stories are usually, like, filled with lessons and love and stories and animals and food and all those kind of things, like, handed down from, you know, one generation to the next. And I have, like I said, I have yet to see any proverb, and someone please, if there is one, please correct me, because I am not too, you know, I love to learn. So if there is a proverb that says what I'm talking about here from our people, let a sister know. But I did not come across it while I was researching. But like, I have yet to see a proverb that says doing things for the sake of perfection is like that. That's the end goal, that that's the way that we are to live. What I did find when I researched on Google University, in anticipation of me doing this episode, I learned that the first person that was credited with saying that phrase, which apparently was taken from like a Latin phrase, which I'm not going to even try to pronounce what it's, how it's said in Latin. But anyway, very long story short, I'm getting off the rails here. I, from my understanding, the first person to have been attributed to saying that was, one of our presidents back in the day, John Adams. And he is the one, from what I could tell, that was, you know, attributed with saying practice makes perfect. Apparently it was found in like his diary or something along those lines. This was in the 1800s. So I'm guessing obviously that surely things were different then, things have changed. And I'm not going to sit up here and say, well, what did perfect mean back in the 1800s? What was going on in the 1800s? You know what I mean? Because words can kind of, or not kind of, words do evolve a little bit over time. Things shift over time. One word means something one decade, and then a next decade it means something else, or it's like added on to. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to sit up here and say, well, in the 1800s, you know, no, that's not the point. But I understand that surely things were obviously different then. But I can tell you, like, I don't know if the idea of perfection carried the same weight that it does today. You know what perfection means today. Perfection today is harmful. Perfection today means, you know, kind of like the definition, but in the most harmful and toxic way. When I think of perfection, I think of all these things that just do not feel good. Actually, I'm just going to tell you a story really quickly. Speaking of perfection, and God, this, every time I think about it, it just makes me sad. But so back in the day, I used to get my hair done, child. I used to get my hair straightened. I was a straight hair queen. Back in like the 80s, the 90s, part of the 2000s, I was like a straight hair queen. Now I'm a natural queen, as you may or may not know. But, you know, I was born and raised in Los Angeles or in Southern California. And so I used to get my hair done at the salon, or one, like one of the salons I used to get my hair done, was in Los Angeles. And again, this is while I was in my straight hair phase, which I was in for quite some time. I was about that life. Anyway, one of the beauticians there, her name was April. And she wasn't my beautician. She was, now I'm trying to go back to the 90s, y'all, so my memory may not be 100% correct. To my knowledge, April was my beautician's friend or bestie, or that's the impression that I got. Maybe that's not correct, but I could have sworn they were like, at least for a while, they were like BFFs, or maybe just in the salon. I don't know. They were just friendly. They had to have been. I think they were best friends. Anyway, so they were both beauticians. I don't think either one of them owned the salon, but they probably just ended up working together. Like, maybe if one leave the salon, another one's like, okay, girl, here's where I'm working. Come through. You know what I'm trying to say? So they just ended up working there together one way or another. Anyway, so April was one of my beautician's friends at the time. And when I think about perfection, sometimes I think about April, because one of the decisions that she made, back in the, I don't think at the time when this happened that I was getting my hair done at that point. Cause I think this was possibly in the early 2000s or the mid to late 2000s. I'm not sure, but I wasn't getting my hair done anymore when this specific thing happened. But, I don't even know how I found out about this. Anyway, so getting back to April, when I think about perfection, I think about her because one of the decisions that she made for her life, like it changed her life forever. And this is one of the reasons why, like I'm just saying, when it comes to being quote unquote perfect, or perfectionism, by today's standards, it can look like it mean a lot of things. In her case, perfection meant, or one of the things it looked like was having a certain physique, having a certain body. And what she ended up doing was getting a, I think it was a BBL or I don't know what the term is. I think it's a BBL. I don't know what the term is that she got specifically, but I'm just going to say a Brazilian butt lift, but she ended up getting injections in her booty, that this process that she endured ended up harming her in a huge, huge way. Because from what I understand in her search for perfectionism, I guess maybe she tried to circumvent the norm or the process. I don't think she went to an actual surgeon. From what I understand, like back in the day, it used to be really popular to go to like injection parties, or I think she ended up having this procedure at someone's house. That's kind of what I remember. And the person, obviously, if you're doing this in your home, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously that's already a strike. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure this person didn't have the correct understanding. I can't imagine that it was as clean as possible. And then the materials, I think what it was the materials that were used. I don't, again, know the exact process with the BBL. Like, I think they sucked the fat out of one place, put it somewhere else, but don't quote me on that. I don't know for sure. But what I remember reading is that in April's case, I think they were putting like, I want to say cement, but that probably isn't right. They were putting some unnatural material that does not belong, like it was a foreign substance that does not belong in the body, into her body. And I guess that's what they did at these parties. I don't know if she knew this. I don't know. I don't know any of those specifics. But very long story short, her pursuit of just probably feeling more in love with herself by way of her body, which I'm sure her body was beautiful, you know, me outside looking in. It's not about what I think, obviously, it's about what she thought, right? But she was striving for this, I guess, standard of beauty because for whatever reason, she just, maybe, I don't know, maybe she didn't feel like she was good enough. Maybe she didn't feel her body was whatever. You know, we all have these things that we think about ourselves and we're just like, if only this would be better, if only I could make this more perfect, if only I could, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we can get through that phase unscathed, but then other times, unfortunately, things happen. And in her case, in April's case, something definitely did happen. You know what? Let me go ahead and take a break right here. I know you love this podcast, but if you've been on the hunt for other unapologetically Black podcasts to listen to, I want to invite you to give Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR a listen. They featured an episode of It's Been a Minute, and it was with Tracee Ellis Ross, and it was like a breath of fresh air for me. She touched upon her work, which of course includes Girlfriends, and we know the legacy of that show and also how that dynamic specifically between Joan and Tony still has a huge impact on Black culture. But it gave me room to reflect not only about the ways I am in community with Black women, but also how I am being in relation relationship with myself. NPR's episodes, they just hit differently. So NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes that celebrate the Black experience. From the It's Been a Minute episode with Tracee Ellis Ross to the Code Switch episode on the women behind the Montgomery bus boycott, these episodes are rooted in our richness and our history that we will not allow to be erased or marginalized. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts. One of my favorite memories as a little girl was when I went to the beach. Seeing the ocean waves, smelling the salty air, and feeling the sun on my skin was pure radical joy. Now, certain scents like Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil will instantly trigger those feel-good memories because it literally smells like summer in a bottle. Inside, you'll find blissful notes of lime, grapefruit, cypress, mango, and mandarin. The scent is so divine that I cannot help but to smell myself randomly throughout the day. And when I use it after a shower, my skin is glowy, soft, and smooth. I've talked about Osea many times, and there's a reason for that. It is a clean, soothing part of my maintenance routine, one that I refuse to be without. I absolutely adore Osea. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SELFCARE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code SELFCARE for 10% off. There is no shame in needing to rebuild. So I'm in a season of taking back my financial power, and that looks like getting my credit together because having credit is powerful. I'll be making a move next year to another state, and I'm doing what I know to do now so that my credit won't prevent me from being able to rent another home. If you're in a similar situation, one tool I want you to know about is Kickoff, the credit builder that requires no credit check and is super simple to get started with today. Kickoff is a credit line that is just for credit building, not everyday spending, and there are zero catches. You make on-time payments, the credit bureau sees your good behavior, and your credit grows. Sign up in minutes from your phone and start building credit right away. Join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar at getkickoff.com/selfcare today. That's Kickoff without the C. GetKIKOFF.com/selfcare. Special offer applies to new Kickoff premium customers for their first month only. Subject to approval and only available on getkickoff.com/selfcare. Terms of offer are subject to change. All right, so I am back and I'm speaking about April. I'm going to wrap this up. Unfortunately, when she ended up having that procedure for the, let's just say BBL or whatever it was, something happened where her body, I think, rejected whatever the injections were. I think she ended up getting some type of infection. And very long story short, unfortunately, she ended up having to get her arms and her legs amputated. Her hands and her feet, or something along those lines. She had to get them amputated because whatever they did to her body, unfortunately, it just did not have a good outcome. And obviously, I can't even imagine that this was something April thought was even something that would happen. You know what I'm saying? It's not like she intentionally went out and said, you know what, I'm gonna harm myself today. I'm pretty sure that's not what she said. But yeah, and her life was just forever changed. And when I went to, you can research April. Her name is April Brown. And from what I remember, when I remember our time in the salon, she seemed like she was just cool as hell. But again, this was the 90s. I'm not saying that I knew her. I just knew of her. But from what I did know, she just seemed so cool as hell. And I thought she was really pretty. I mean, what do I know? She was just a woman. She had beautiful dark chocolate skin. And I don't know. I just thought she was pretty. I never looked at her and was like, oh my God, her butt's to this or her hips are to that. I don't know. I just never thought that. But again, it's how we feel about ourselves and how society causes us to feel some type of way about things that are natural about us. Does that make sense? And so a lot of times we end up striving for perfection in different ways because, again, quote unquote, practice makes perfect, right? And we should all be striving for perfection. But yeah, unfortunately, at some point, April passed away. I think it was in the last maybe 5 years. I'm not sure what she passed away from, but I just remember looking at her story and just remembering how she was able to flip that, at least outside looking in, flip that into just a victory. She didn't allow it to just stop her life, if that makes sense. And it looks like, from what I saw, she was able to reclaim her life after experiencing one of the most horrific things I've ever seen happen in the pursuit of enhancing yourself, right? But yeah, she did unfortunately pass away in the last few years. But when I think about perfection, when I think about just like pushing for perfection, sometimes I think back on April Brown. She wanted, for whatever reason, a certain level of beauty or perfection because, I mean, ultimately we believe that unless we're perfect to someone else's understanding or to someone else's guidelines, like of how we should be, how we should show up, how we should look, we aren't good enough. Does that make sense? So to me, practice and perfection, like, first of all, they don't even belong in the same sentence to me, but that's just me. Practice and perfection are in opposition of each other to me. When I think about perfection, it feels unforgiving. It feels it feels hard. It feels like a brick wall in your journey, like a brick wall that makes you stop. It's hard. It's unrelenting. It's unforgiving. It's harsh. It's just this hard, harsh line, straight line. When life is about curves, life isn't so black and white. I've really come to understand that in the last few years. Like, life is definitely not black and white. And life is definitely not a straight line. Like, it's curves. It has ups and downs and wiggles and squiggles and all that stuff. It's not this perfectly straight line from point A to point B. It's like perfection to me is like telling our children that they're coloring. You know, when they come home from school and they have the little ripped out coloring book page. I'm laughing because I know my daughter came home with those a time or 10. But every mama, every daddy, every caregiver knows when they baby come to them with that little artwork that they did in daycare or in school, what do you say? Like, you're not like, oh my God, this is this is horrendous. You need to, I'm just laughing thinking about this because it sounds so absurd as I say this. Like, I can't imagine me telling like my then 5-year-old when she comes, or my 4-year-old when she came with that little drawing, to be like, girl, you need to work on this coloring because you did not stand the line. These colors do not go together. This looks raggedy. It's ugly. Like, could you imagine telling a 5-year-old that about something that they took the time and effort to make? Right? Because babies, like children, we're all in certain form of practice, but more so children, they're definitely in a state of practice at that point, right? Even though I feel like we all are at all stages of our life, but especially children. And I don't know of any mama, daddy, auntie, caregiver, teacher, I mean, I don't know of any that would ever take that artwork and be like, and tell them this is trash. You're trash and this is trash because this art is not perfect. I mean, could you imagine that? Like, that's what perfection is like for me. And we all know that that's a lie because, like I said, every mama I know, they love the artwork that their babies bring home with them, right? And also, like, another perspective, have you heard that doctors, like, they are practicing? I know that sounds crazy. But yeah, doctors they practice medicine. They don't know everything. And this is another reason why, and this is a side topic, I'm not going to talk about this today, but because they are practicing, and this is not a dig at doctors by any means, but when it comes to our health, we definitely need to learn how to be empowered to take more control or take more charge of our health. Because first of all, from my understanding, some of these doctors don't care. Second of all, because they don't know everything, some doctors, some doctors are very rigid in their line of thinking. I'm not going to say that's right or wrong. I'm not a doctor. I did not have the fortitude to take the time to study the way that they did and get a degree, which I'm sure they got with blood, sweat, and tears. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely not knocking doctors. I'm just saying that they don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. If you know everything, then you're basically God. And there's nobody on this planet that is God. You feel me? But yeah, doctors, they practice their craft. They will never be perfect. It's a practice. And so to me, practice in to me makes room. It's just when I think about practice versus perfectionism, like practice to me, it's expansive. It allows space. It makes room for freedom and creativity and acceptance of your uniqueness and variation. Like it flows. It's not so rigid and forced and hard. Like to me, perfectionism is. It opens me up further for like understanding of who I am and exploration and all willingly versus like being forced and it has to be this way or being pushed to perform or just to be a certain way. So when I tell yourself that self-care is a practice, for example, or whatever it is that you're doing is a practice, for example, it gives you that freedom. Like you're free from criticism, you're free from perfectionism, you're free from judgment. Like how do you show up when you don't feel criticized? You know what I'm saying? Like how do you show up when you aren't criticized? Like if you don't have someone that feeling of perfectionism breathing down your neck, you show up differently, right? How do you feel when you don't have to be perfect? What does that do for you? How does that make you feel? How do you show up? That energy that you show up in when you tell yourself like, oh, this is just, you know, I'm practicing XYZ versus I've got to be perfect at XYZ. Like there's just a major difference between the two. Do you understand what I'm saying? So to me, when I think of like, just what it opens me up to, I just feel safer. I feel safer in my body. I feel safer just to be me. I feel safer to try. I feel, like I said, I just feel more at ease. I feel more expansive. I feel more open. I don't feel shut down. I don't feel, I don't know, just that weight of what this thing it has to be, if that makes any sense. And so I really just want us to look at self-care as not something that needs to be perfected. And also you, I don't want you to think of yourself as something that needs to be perfected, right? As soon as you say this has to be perfect, everything else shuts down. Have you noticed that? As soon as you say something has to be perfect, it like you're literally just throwing up that brick wall that I talked about before and putting it directly in your life's path or your life's journey. So I want us to think about life and self-care more so as a practice, you know, habits that we put into action, ideas and beliefs and mindsets that we put into action. Again, with the understanding that it's done to deepen who we are, to deepen our understanding. So that's what I'm saying. I made a post recently on Instagram and I'm going to read it really quickly. And actually I probably should have had this up. Let me pull it up really quickly. The post that I made says that self-love is a practice. Being gentle with yourself is a practice. Breathing is a practice. Rest is a practice. Healing is a practice. Creating room for other Black women to heal as you heal is definitely a practice. Like, and all of which is in alignment with liberation. Like all of those things, and these are not the only things that are a practice. These are not the only things that are a practice, right? But these jump out to me, like even feeling safe in your body, that's a practice. There are so many things that can be a practice, and you and to do so without, again, that label or expectation of being perfect is everything. Because as soon as you put that label on it, right, it changes everything. And so what I want you to be thinking of, you know, today, this week, this month, this year in 2023 is what things can I shift my perspective on and say, you know what? I'm going to look at this as a practice. I do not have to be perfect. I don't have to, you know, color between the lines, as they say. I don't have to use the quote unquote proper colors, because, you know, kids don't do that. They will make a person yellow or green real quick with no apologies, right? It's just that we have this, we've already been, what's the word? Conditioned. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. We've already been conditioned and our ways have already been set. And I'm not saying that the way our ways, like our who we are can't change. I'm not saying that at all. But children are different than we are. So they see through a different perspective. They see through a different lens than we do. They haven't had all the life that we've had. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. So it's not to say that we can't change our perspective. We can't change our view. We can't allow more or extend ourselves grace as we shift and change. Like, I don't feel like we're 100% molded into whoever we are unless that's what we firmly decided. Like, in other words, if you said, I am not a book reader. And I know that 100%. And you take on that identity. And when you take on that identity, like you don't make space to open up a book. You don't make space to find any titles that may be appealing to you. You don't make space to get understanding from books. Like, you have just completely shut it down. And you said, like, firmly, I am not this, period. I think that's pretty much the only way that I can think of that you would not be able to evolve and shift and change. Like, you have, if you have that resistance to it and you just don't allow and make space for it, I feel like that's a way that you can completely shut it down. I don't want that for my life. I don't want that for your life. And I want you to hear me when I tell you that you can remain a work in progress. You can remain someone that evolves and learns and flows and blooms. Like, you don't have to be, really, you don't have to be any way that you don't want to be, period. Even if that has been your way for the last few weeks, months, decades, whatever, we can always change. So I just want you to know that if you were brought up with the understanding that you have to be perfect, if you were brought up with the conditioning and understanding that you have to look a certain way, speak a certain way to be worthy, to be respected, to be valued, to whatever, to be beautiful, like, no. Absolutely not. You feel me? Like, no, absolutely not. We're not doing that in 2023. Or at least, look at me telling you what we ain't doing. I do that a lot, don't I? I be making some of the podcast titles be like, what we ain't gonna do in 2023. Or what we ain't gonna do in 2022. Like, I know I've had a few of those. But really, when I say those things, I'm saying it from a place of love. Obviously, I cannot tell you what to do. I cannot tell you what to think or how to be. All I can do is just share. And then you take what you get from me and from others and practice, you know, put it into practice that makes sense for you. Right? That's the beauty of it. We can all learn from each other. We can all, you know, collectively just expand together when we put different things into practice and we allow ourselves to not let perfectionism dictate who we are, what we're going to do, all of those things, how we're going to show up. Perfectionism and self-care, like, they have no business being in the same sentence, period. Not that I can think of. They just don't. So I want you to just continue thinking of self-care as a practice. I want you to continue thinking of the other things that I mentioned. You can see that post on Instagram. It's the last post that I made. But you can think of just all kinds of things as a practice. Rest, breathing, setting boundaries is a practice. That's one that I struggle with. I ain't gonna sit up here and lie. I do. Budgeting your money is a practice. Like, pretty much all of life can be looked at as a practice, and we don't have to draw that hard line and say, nope, it has to be this way always and forevermore, or if not, I've failed and I'm not worthy and I'm not good enough. We're not looking for perfection. Perfection's not required, sis. Okay? You don't have to be perfect to be valuable. You don't have to be perfect to be valued. You don't have to be perfect to love yourself just as you are. You don't have to be perfect to accept yourself. You don't. Okay? You are worthy just as you are. And so again, I would love for you to make a list of some of the things in your mind that say this has to be perfect. I want you to see if there's a way that you can flip those things and allow yourself to say, you know, this is I am practicing dot, dot, dot. I am practicing whatever, right? Whatever that word is for you. And allow yourself grace and space to be okay with that. Allow yourself to breathe some ease into that and to take some of the pressure off. Okay? You don't have to be perfect. All right, sis. So that is actually it for this week's episode. Look at God. Look at God. I did this in less than 35 minutes. Won't he do it? All right. So that's it for this week's episode. If you could do me a favor, if this episode blessed you, please be sure to share it to your friends, to your circle on social media or wherever your friends be hanging out, and let them know to come and get this good word today. And if you haven't had the opportunity yet, if you would be so kind as to leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast so that others can hopefully get it in their algorithm as well, that would be dope. And yeah, that's it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. I cannot wait to be in conversation with you next week. Have a blessed week, and we'll talk soon.